Well, how was your week? I want to ask you, were you able to serve anybody this past week? Did you find that as you sought to serve someone, if you remember last Sunday's sermon, we talked about service. As you sought to serve someone, did you find maybe a difficult situation where maybe it wasn't so easy to serve? Maybe you were serving someone a tray of spaghetti, and maybe they weren't too grateful, and part of you just wanted to take that spaghetti and fling it in their face. I was hoping Tracy would be here. You can ask Tracy about the spaghetti this week, but either you could fling it in their face or you could smile and remember Colossians 3:24 that says, "It is the Lord Jesus that I am serving." That kind of mindset. Well, not only is it important to keep the Lord in our minds as we serve, but it's important to remember where the power comes from when we serve the Lord. We want to look at that today. If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter is toward the back of your Bibles. If you get to Hebrews, then James, right after that is 1 Peter. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. Today, though, we'll mainly focus on verse 10. One of the things that Peter stresses in his letters is living out our faith. Peter says, hey guys, life is not easy. You may suffer unjustly for the cause of Christ. Satan is around the corner seeking to discourage you. But you know what? Even in the face of adversity, live out your faith. Make a difference for Christ. This is Peter's heart, and this is what we see in his letters. Because one day we're going to meet Christ face to face, and that day could be very soon. Therefore, live this holy life. Let's look at verses 7 through 11. Peter writes and says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Well, the first thing to note as we look at verse 10, I want to focus on that verse. The first half is each one should use whatever gift he has. First thing to note is that a gift is just that, it's a gift. When we have a gift from God, it's not because we did something good to earn that gift. We don't earn the gift. We're not just a little bit better than the guy next to us. That's why we get the gift. We didn't even ask for the gift. God decided in his sovereign will to give you a gift. If you are a believer in Christ, God has imparted a gift to you through his Holy Spirit, possibly more than one gift. But that gift comes from God, and God is the one who decides that. Let's just turn back, if you will. Keep your finger in 1 Peter 4. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to look at a passage there that also speaks about the gift. Just going to look at this quickly. If you do want to do an exhaustive study on spiritual gifts, this is a great chapter to dig into verse by verse. But we're just going to look at verses 4 through 11. And one thing we'll see here is that Paul points out it is the Holy Spirit who determines the gifts. Chapter 12, verse 4 says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. That's just a small list of the gifts. In our scripture reading today, you heard more of the gifts. John in Romans 12 touched on gifts like teaching, gifts like encouraging, giving, showing mercy. All of these are gifts that come by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are determined by the Spirit. Look at verses 6 and 11 again, and just look how close they sound. Verse 6 says, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives to them each one just as he determines. Again, the Holy Spirit is the one who determines that. I want you to imagine, if you will, if we're all sitting around a great big table right now. We're all gathered around this table, and we've just had a meal together, and it's time for dessert. And as dessert comes, Jesus actually comes, and he serves us dessert. Big pie for all of us. You like pie? Well, we're getting some pie. Not today, but we're going to get pie in this analogy. And Jesus goes to the kitchen, and there's this one big pie dish, and he starts dishing out the pie, and he hands Mrs. D a pie, then Mrs. Fuller, Helen, so on. He gives us all a piece of pie. Some of us may have a couple pieces. Some pieces may be smaller, some may be bigger. Some may be apple, some may be chocolate cream, some may be pumpkin. They're all different, all different kinds of pies. And that is how really it works with the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. There's different gifts, there may be a variety, but God is the one who determines who gets that gift. And you may wonder, well, how in the world does Jesus come out with this one pie dish and they're all different flavors? Why? Because that Spirit or that gift, that pie, that gift comes from God, the Spirit. Well, one of the dangers in receiving the gifts is to look at another person and say, well, how come B-Rad has that chocolate cream pie? And it's a real big piece of chocolate cream pie, and I don't have that pie. That's a danger when we actually get jealous and maybe desire a gift that someone else has. What's wrong with that? Who are we really mad at? We're mad at God, because God is the one who distributes, who determines who gets what gift. Another danger is to look at our gift and be proud of our gift. Whoa, I got the big chocolate cream, and somebody else just has this little piece of zucchini pie or something like that. You know, I got the big pie. And so we can take pride in our gift. And this was an issue in the Corinthian church. They began to take pride in their spiritual gifts, and they began to determine what gifts were better. And if you had that gift, that made you a better person, if you had the greater gift. And Paul has to write this letter to distinguish, to wipe out all those falsehoods. Paul would go on in chapter 12 to talk about the body of Christ and how we need each other. Right? Every part is important. Think about the human body. It doesn't fight against itself, does it? If I've got a scratch way back here in my, or an itch, well, I'm real good today. If I've got an itch way back in my back here, and I need to get to it, what happens? Think of all the things that are happening right now, right? My feet are holding my body up. My elbow is bending so that I can get back there. My hands are in this nice back scratcher shape. My fingernails are ready to do it. This other hand is going to push my elbow back and get to that scratch. It's going to relieve that pain. It's going to comfort my body. It's all working together. There's not one part that is upset at what's going on right now. It's all good. And that's how it is with the gifts in the body of Christ. The gifts are given for the common good, that it would be to build up and edify the body, that we would help each other, that we would relieve the pain, that we would encourage. At times we may have to rebuke, but we would do it out of love and do it because it is given by God for the purpose of the body. And Paul would go on to say in chapter 13, the greatest gift of all is what? Love. You can have all the gifts you want. I don't care what you're doing, jumping up and down, miraculous powers. If you don't have love, you're nothing. Exercise those gifts in love. Number one, remember that a gift is a gift and it comes from the Spirit. Number two, what's the purpose of the gifts? Are we the only ones that should benefit from receiving the gifts? Are we given the gifts that so that we can boast in the size and flavor of our pies or of our gifts? No, not at all. Let's go back to 1 Peter 4:10. He says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to do what? To serve others. The purpose of the gift is not to serve myself. It's to serve other people, that the body of Christ may be built up. Maybe instead of talking about pieces of pie for the gift, I should have said things like God gives out a toolbox and maybe God gives out a first aid kit. These pictures of things that will bring healing and edification to the body of Christ, because that's what the gifts are there for, to build up the body. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says this, it was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service or ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Why are there so many different gifts? Because that's the way God planned it. That's the way God wants it. God doesn't want just one person to have all the gifts. And God doesn't desire that one particular gift be in all the people, but he blends it all together beautifully. And when the body of Christ submits to what God wants to do in and through you, through the power of the Spirit, the giftedness of the Spirit, it will be like poetry in motion when the body of Christ surrenders to Christ and is obedient to him. So as we serve, let's ask ourselves this question. God, am I serving you in the manner that you desire? And am I serving you in the power of the Holy Spirit? Or am I proud of my, quote, gift? And am I mainly concerned with how it affects me rather than others? Let's suppose that one day I decide to give my brother John a gift, just out of the blue. I'm paying him back a favor. I want to bless John. And so I bless him with a brand new riding lawnmower. Although after talking with him yesterday, maybe I should give it to Nancy. I don't know, maybe Nancy's the lawnmower in the family. But it's a brand new, talking about a big old 58, I don't know if they make 60-inch cut, we'll call it, zero turn radius. It goes 0 to 40 in 3.4 seconds. It's just sweet. It is a sweet lawnmower. And John puts it to good use. He's able to mow his entire lawn in 12 and a half minutes. It's just amazing. He's the envy of the neighborhood. But every time after John gets done mowing his lawn, he parks the mower in the driveway and he rinses it off and he polishes it up nice and clean. And then he puts his sunglasses on and he grabs a lemonade and he just kicks back on that lawnmower and just kind of watches the neighbors drive by and people toot. And some people even stop and say, John, wow, what an awesome, awesome lawnmower, dude. Yeah, isn't it great? Yeah. It is sweet. How long does it take you to mow your lawn? 12 and a half minutes. It's sweet. That is awesome. Yeah, that's what I said. Hey, where did you get it? Oh, you can get one down at Cub Cadet down there. I think they sell them there. Yeah, you can get one there. Ah, cool. But meanwhile, as John is sitting on his mower, sipping his lemonade, hours go by, there's a 95-year-old widow across the street on a 95-degree day, pushing her 1979 Kmart Special mower. What's wrong with this picture? Right. Now, I know, I'm picking, I told John I was going to pick on him today. I know John well enough that he would not do that. I think he would not do that. He would not just sit there while there's an old widow mowing her lawn. And I know myself well enough that I probably wouldn't buy John a new lawnmower either. So that kind of throws that analogy out of the window. But the point is this. Whenever we forget to thank the giver of the gift, whenever we forget to give thanks to God who gave us the gift. And then we fail to use that gift to serve other people, then we're just like that picture that I just painted. How about you? Do you gloat over your gift, never looking to serve one another? I hope not. God's given you a gift so that you can serve other people. Number one, the gift comes from God. Number two, the gifts are given so that we might serve others. Number three, look again at 1 Peter 4:10. The second half says, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's a mouthful right there. The English Standard Version says this, says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That word steward there helps us to understand again that the gift is not our own. What does a steward do? A steward doesn't own anything, do they? If you're a steward of a millionaire's home, you don't own that home, but you're a servant there and you look over the affairs of the household. If you're a steward on a plane, you don't own the plane, do you? But you seek to make that ride as smooth as possible for the passengers on the plane. Well, this is the picture of what it means to be a steward of God's grace, a steward of the gift that we have. And Peter points out that the gifts come in a variety of shapes and sizes. It's been said that variety is the spice of life. You ever hear that? And sometimes people say that so that they can kind of tantalize their flesh and do sinful things in that regard. But it's important to remember that God uses variety in the body of Christ. It is through variety that we bring him glory and that we do good to others and serve one another. That word variety in the Greek can be explained this way. The word means variegated. There's a good word for you. It is used to describe the skin of a leopard, the different colored veinings of marble, or an embroidered robe. It can also mean changeful or diversified, as in the changing of months or the variations of a strain of music. And so it's important that we grab hold of this truth and don't let go, that we understand that there is a variety of gifts. Because when we understand that believers are not all stamped out of this one cookie cutter mold and we all come out looking the same and doing the exact same things, you know what? We're going to understand that people are used in different ways, and we're not going to frown on differences, but we're actually going to delight in differences in the body of Christ. Let me just add a quick comment there. When I say delight in differences, I'm not using it in the way that the world does. You may hear our politicians and movie stars say that we should delight in the different kind of lifestyles that people have that are sinful. No, I'm talking in context of spiritual gifts. When it comes to the believer's spiritual gift, that is how we delight in variety so that we might bring glory to God. One final word I want us to consider from 1 Peter 4:10 is the word grace. Peter says that we might administer God's grace in its various forms. Grace, as many of you know, means what? Getting what we don't deserve, right? Getting what we don't deserve. Peter is saying this, use whatever gift God has given you to minister to others so that everything you do may be a demonstration of God's grace. Let me ask you, as you seek to serve others, does that word grace ever come across your mind? It should. It should. You know why? Because we are, as believers, children of grace. We owe all of our salvation to grace, and we owe every effort after salvation to grace. It's all grace. We should say this, it's only by God's grace that I can do anything good. It's only by God's grace that I have the power to serve. It's by God's grace that I am what I am. And so if I only seek to serve others who, quote, deserve it, how am I extending or demonstrating God's grace? We must never forget that we are children of grace. This was Paul's mindset. When you read Paul's letters, when it came to receiving a gift and the call to preach the gospel along with the other apostles. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." That long before Popeye, I am what I am. Paul said, "I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." Notice that Paul credits even his, quote, hard work to what? God's grace. God's grace. And so because of that, it really didn't matter to Paul who was preaching the gospel. Paul says, if I do it, don't matter. Peter does it, don't matter. As long as God is using us, the message is getting out. Doesn't matter who receives the gospel under which teacher. Didn't matter to Paul because Paul really didn't care about that. He just wanted to serve his Lord. He goes on to say in the following verse, "So then, whether it was I or they, so we preach and you believed." That's the important thing, that the message got out and you believed it, not who gave the message. Paul says, does it really matter who did the preaching? Does it really matter who comes to Christ because I was the one preaching or Peter or John? No, it all begins with God and it ends with God. We serve by God's grace and the results come by God's grace as well. So as you seek to serve the Lord this week with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, when you get to the end of the day and you've given it your best, can you lay your head on your pillow and say these words, "'Tis grace. God, it's only through your grace that I was able to serve you today. And God, I want to thank you for your enabling and sustaining grace that empowered me to serve you today." Is that your mindset? 'Tis grace. Well, today we've talked a lot about serving in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says that only those who belong to Christ, only who believe in Christ, possess the Holy Spirit, have the Spirit in them. Ephesians 1:14 says this, "Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit of God." Romans 8 says that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you working for the Lord? Are you seeking to live that holy life by the power of the Holy Spirit or by the power of the flesh? If it's only the flesh, then perhaps the Spirit is not in you. And it begins with surrendering to Christ. It begins by coming to the foot of the cross and acknowledging what Jesus did for you. He bore your sins so that you could be forgiven. You could be saved. You could be born again, set free by the grace of God and by the power of his Spirit. Have you believed in Christ? Once you believe, you are marked in him with a seal, the Holy Spirit. Then you are empowered to serve God. You see, you cannot seek to do holy stuff apart from the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, Lord, your word today. I thank you, Lord, for the reminder that it is all you. It's all about you, Lord. We acknowledge that nothing good lives in our sinful nature. And Lord, anything good comes from you. We can do nothing apart from you, Jesus. So Lord, we just look to you and your strength to sustain us and to help us and to empower us to serve you. God, help us to see the opportunities that are before us each and every day to serve others in your name. Lord, whether they're old or young, Lord, whether we may agree with their lifestyle, Lord, whether we may enjoy their attitudes or whatever it may be, Lord, maybe they rub us the wrong way, Lord, but you call us to serve. Lord, help us to be your servants and to do it all for the glory of Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.